Thank you so much for talking to us.
No, thank you for having me.
Your latest report focuses on the fates of 34 political prisoners. Of course, in your report, you're very careful about calling them political prisoners. You call them people who were imprisoned for political reasons, essentially, right? I mean, tell me how you came up with that term and why. Why not political prisoner, just simply?
Well, the term politically motivated charges is in many ways the same thing as a political prisoner. We were trying to be precise and essentially make sure that we include the very wide range of different kinds of victims of this policy. And what we do is we document a consistent policy of what we're calling politically motivated imprisonment in Uzbekistan. And it affects human rights activists, journalists, political opposition figures, religious figures, witnesses of Andijan, and other people that we're calling internal enemies as the Uzbek government sees them. And so, you know, it's not so important what they're called. It's that the policy is penalizing and punishing a wide variety of individuals simply for the peaceful exercise of their fundamental rights.
And as we know, they're not just 34. There are a lot of people who are behind bars because they were critical of the regime, because they were critical of the policies in place. Why are you focusing on these specific 34 people?
We, quite simply, we're publishing as documented, as detailed information as we can about what one would probably say are the most prominent cases, the cases that already, in most cases, a lot of these individuals have been on the websites and in the information put out by various organizations, Uzbek organizations and organizations like CPJ, like Amnesty International. And we wanted to bring together most of the well-known cases and some of the lesser-known cases. And quite simply, these are the cases that we had the most information on. And they're also the cases that shed light on larger trends of repression across, as you said, thousands of cases. It's important to underline that we do believe that there are thousands of people in prison on political or religious charges, and while we don't have a firm estimate of the actual number, as we note in the report, Memorial, the Russian human rights organization, and the independent group of human rights defenders in Tashkent, led by Murat Ikramov, have come to the figure of about 10,000 or more such prisoners. So we certainly don't intend this to be an exhaustive list. We want this to be a representative list of a policy that exists in Uzbekistan.
This is not the first time you are raising the issue of political prisoners in Uzbekistan. You have written a number of reports. You have issued several statements. And you know the position of Uzbekistan when it comes to this issue. What makes you think, or what makes you hope, that this time there could be some change?
Well, there's a lot of reasons to raise this issue now. One is that in this report, we're able to document some disturbing new findings, which we hope will raise the level of pressure that Uzbekistan's international partners, including the United States and the European Union, are putting on Tashkent. We believe that the practice, for example, that we documented in the report, whereby prisoners are having their sentences extended for the most absurd, farcical, and bizarre reasons, are simply so amazing and so cruel that states and various governments and organizations will take notice and they'll raise this issue. And it should be shocking, it should be embarrassing, it should be shameful that some of these individuals have been in prison now for 20 years and had their sentences extended for improperly peeling carrots, wearing white shirts, going to the bathroom without permission. These are the types of charges that we've been able to bring together here, and for the first time we can say that this is actually a policy. We documented out of 44 cases, that's 34 current prisoners and 10 former prisoners, that at least 14 of them have had their sentences extended on these sorts of absurd charges. And so that's a new feature, in a way, of this report that we hope will have some impact, and we think it'll have an impact in Tashkent. We hope it will have some impact. And we also believe that many of these cases haven't been raised in public this way, this strongly in a long time. Some of these cases extend back 20 years. And it's important that we put that information out into the public sphere. It's important that the public discuss these individual states. It's only through public discussion and public pressure that we can hope to see these people released. So, you know, there's many reasons to do it. We also have been able to collect a critical mass of information that will be irrefutable at this point. The government will have to at least admit the existence of such prisoners.
You have been attending the OSCE Human Rights Conference in Warsaw, and there are many human rights activists there from Uzbekistan, from the region, but also there are governmental representatives. Have you been able to talk to any of them about any of the issues that you raise, that the Human Rights Watch constantly raises on Uzbekistan?
Human Rights Watch has sought a meeting with the Uzbek delegation to the OSCE. We've also applied for visas to go to Tashkent, and we haven't received a response. When we publish a report, we always give a government a chance to first comment on the findings before the report is published, and we did that in this case. In July, we sent letters to about 8 Uzbek government agencies, and unfortunately, as they've done in the past, they did not engage with us. They did not speak to us. Although today, interestingly, at the OSCE conference, there were some exchanges between the Uzbek delegation and us and Uzbek human rights defenders. Nothing very substantive, but of course, Uzbek human rights activists have been very vocal at this meeting in Warsaw. There was a silent protest on behalf of these political prisoners. So I think Tashkent is noticing. Certainly, they're keeping an eye on what's happening here in Warsaw, and we hope that we'll be able to have some serious discussions with them in Tashkent.
Thank you so much. We've been talking to Steve Swerdlow from Human Rights Watch, and he is talking to us from Warsaw.
Thank you for having me.